Amen. Well, like she said, happy Father's Day. Why don't we give all the dads a round of applause today and thank them, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the dads. And I say this every year at Mother's Day, Mom, without you, there would be no us. And I can say the same thing for dads. Dads, without you, there would be no us either. Amen. I normally get a bigger applause than that on Mother's Day, but that's okay. I love you too, dads. And we need, like my wife was saying, we need dads that are strong and that love God and that are not afraid to stand up and say what needs to be said. Let me go ahead and do this. Thomas and Lillian, many of you know them. They've been coming to the church here for a while, and they're getting ready to relocate to North Dakota or South Dakota? North Dakota. It's North Dakota. And we want to just pray for them today as they get ready to go. This is going to be their last Sunday with us. And I just want to say, Thomas, it's been such a blessing to get to know you and your family. And we really appreciate, you know, everything that you guys have done since you've been here at River of Life Church. And we're going to be sad to see you guys go. But we're going to pray. We want to pray for you right now and just believe God is going to do some amazing things and God's going to use you mightily there. So would you do me a favor just right where you're standing? We're trying to respect the social distancing guidelines. So just go ahead and stretch your hands towards them and let's just release prayer over them and ask God's blessings upon this family. Father, we thank you for Thomas and Lillian and their family. God, we thank you for the call of God that is upon their life. We bless them today in Jesus' name. As they go out, Father, we ask that you would send them in the power and might of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that as they go to North Dakota, that they would shake that place with the power of God. Lord, I pray that the love of God would flow from this family in such a way, God, that they would see and they would give you glory. Father, I pray that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would provide for them in every way as they step out and they move in this new area of life. God, we thank you for blessing them. We thank you for being with them, and we thank you for empowering them to be gospel witnesses all across the earth. And God, we praise you for it, and we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you guys, Thomas. Amen. Well, I want to do, I want to go ahead and give you a few announcements this morning before we get to the word. I'm going to try to, I got so much in my heart today. I don't know, I got notes, but I don't know how much I'm actually going to be able to go off those. So I'm going to try to stick to it, but I got a few announcements that I want to share with you real quick before we get into the word this morning. I want to let everybody know that obviously this is our first service back in 3 months together. It's so good to be back together, but we are still having connect groups online, and those connect groups are meeting at different times. James and Jessica Jackson lead the marriage connect group. Can you guys stand up real quick? Let's give them a hand. And if you're married or you know somebody in the church, get in touch with them and they can give you all the information about their connect group that meets on Zoom as well. We also want to let you know if you're a man in the house, then we have a men's connect group that meets on Zoom. And we're actually going to, this Saturday, we're going to be meeting back here at the church, but we're also going to do it on Zoom as well for those who are too far away to come or don't feel comfortable coming as well. Is Brad in the back anywhere? Brad, can you stand up and wave real quick? Are we doing that this Saturday at 9 o'clock? This Saturday at 9 a.m., guys, we're going to be here at the church, or you can be on Zoom as well, either one. And then we have a women's connect group that meets on Thursday nights at 6:30, and that's Amy Hill leads that. She's not here. But we just want all of you to know that we do have something for everybody going on. Jessica also has the children's ministry is online. So today I think we're having a at 12, we're having a, if you have small children that are part of the children's ministry, at 12 o'clock, you can jump on with them. We've got a video. We've got things for them as well. And then the teens are meeting as well, what, Thursday nights? Let you know that we're doing all those things, and we want to encourage you. You know, we want to encourage you to come back on Sunday, but we also want to encourage you to get plugged in, because how many of you know we're better together? It's hard to live the Christian life on your own. It's hard to be a, you know, no man is an island, as the saying goes. And so the more you stay away from the body, the more difficult it gets. Let you follow Jesus. And the church said amen on that. So I want to also let you know that we have a food pantry here at the church now. So if you are in need, you and your family, if you need groceries, then we want you to know that we have groceries for you. We have non-perishable food items. If you look back in the back, you'll see Deborah Mirez waving her hand. If you see her after the service and your family needs groceries, then she will make sure that she gets you some of those groceries as well. And we're going to continue doing that during this time, because we feel like God is really putting that on our hearts to really take care of people and make sure that people have something to eat, and we're going to make sure our church, nobody has need of food, and then our community as well. Yesterday, for those of you that don't know, we have a partnership with Prince William, the Prince William County Food Bank, I think it is, and they brought to us 50 non-perishable food item boxes and a whole bunch of fruit. So there's all kinds of apples out there. If you like apples, please take a bag of apples on your way out. We gave away so many apples yesterday, but the reason I share that with you is because it was such a blessing as we're out here on Saturday from 12 to 2 giving those things away in the name of Jesus, not in the name of River of Life Church, but in the name of Jesus. We were able to pray with so many families. There were people out in the parking lot weeping in their vehicles because they know God loves them and they had needs, and we were able to pray for those things. We were able to give them things, and I want to just thank you for your generosity. There's a lot of people that are giving every week so that we can buy groceries. There are people that are doing that. And I want to just thank you that everything that you do has an impact, not just naturally, but supernaturally in people's lives as well. Amen. And I want to just encourage you, if you're going to be giving today, if you're going to be giving tithes and offerings today, if you raise your hand, if you need an envelope, James can, oh, they're already on the seat. What am I talking about? There's one on your seat. And everybody that's giving online, you can continue giving online. That's fine. And I want to just give you guys a praise report. During this 3 months of pandemic, let me tell you something about our church. Our offerings and tithes increased, and it did not decrease. I want to tell you that's an amazing testament to the generosity of this church. Things are up. From this time last year, everything is up, and we've been able to do a whole lot more in the community. And I just want to say thank you for being a generous church. It's such a blessing to be a part of a church where when we see needs, and I want to just share with you, I got to hurry up here because I need to get into the message, but I've been talking with Pastor Felix. Many of you know him. He was here last year from Iquitos in Peru. They've had almost 2,000 people die in the city of Iquitos from COVID-19 because they don't have hardly any medical supplies at all. And he was telling me, Pastor, we're praying, and he can't really go outside. They're basically still locked down in their houses there, and they're hoping at the end of this month to be able to come out. And one of the things he was saying that they're praying is a lot of people, even now they can't get regular supplies because a lot of the supplies that come are not coming. And if you don't know, Iquitos is the largest city on the Amazon in Peru, and it's not connected by roads. So the only way to get supplies is to fly them in or to bring them on ships. And so they had stopped the ships and stopped the planes, and so they're not getting things in. And so they need things for diabetes, for all kinds of stuff, and they don't have a lot of things. And so we're going to be putting together stuff here, and hopefully before the end of the year, being able to open up in September or October for people to go down. And I'm praying and planning on being able to put together some things here that will be a blessing to them, because he wants to open up a clinic in the church, because there's not many clinics in that area of the thing. And so we're going to be praying about that, and I want to just encourage you, if you want to sow into that, you can begin to sow into that now, and we're going to see what kind of things we can buy here that they can't get there, and I'm just going to take that down when I go. And so that's one of the things that we're looking to do as a church as well. So I just want to thank you for your generosity. We're not just touching people's lives in Dumfries, but we're touching people's lives all over the world, and it's because we're the church. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of you are about tired of bad news? Anybody tired of bad news? I'm glad you are, because I got some good news for you this morning. I've got the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message this morning is very simple, and it's called Division. Pastor, that doesn't sound like good news. Well, let me get into it, and I think it will be. So let me just go ahead and give you really quickly, before we go to the Word of God, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 10, verse 10. Before we get there, I want to talk to you really quickly about this word division. Many of you know that I love different. I'm gonna get my phone out real quick, and I'm going to put my timer on, because I can feel I want to preach for a long time. And if I don't put my timer on, I may not let you guys out by lunch. So division, this is what division means. It's the act of dividing or separating into parts any entire body. I want to read that one more time. That's out of the Webster's 1828. Division is the act of dividing or separating into parts any entire body. In other words, you have an entire body, and division is when you separate that body into parts. Division comes from two words in the Latin, die, meaning two, means is if there is a division, it means there are two visions. And how many of us know Jesus said in the Gospels, listen, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If there are two visions in the same house, and every married couple said amen. You know how hard that is when you come together as a married couple, because both of you have a vision for the way you think. You have to die to your vision and you have to come together with one vision. Otherwise, you do what's called divorce, right? And that's the way life works. We understand a marriage cannot last with two visions. It's got to have one vision. The church cannot last with two visions. It's got to have one vision. Everything in life has one vision or it's in division. And that's the only way there is. And we're seeing that in our nation right now. We're seeing that in all kinds of areas right now where the devil wants to divide us. He's wanting to bring division. He's wanting to stir up strife anywhere and everywhere he can. And I want you to look at this John 10:10 with me, and we're going to talk about this. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Do you see the division here? Do you see the division in what Jesus is saying right here? He's saying, listen, the thief or the enemy or Satan, he comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, this is the thief's kingdom right here. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There is nothing more, there's not a greater division in the world than abundant life and destruction and all these other things and death. Do you see the division there between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness? Now I want to tell you right now, there are two kingdoms operating, and there's the thief and his ways are stealing, killing, and destruction. And those are always found with the devil. I don't care what it is. I don't care what I think. I don't care what my opinion is. And I don't care what your opinion is. I care what Jesus' opinion is. And he says, wherever you find stealing, killing, and destroying, that is in the devil's kingdom. That is operating in the devil's kingdom. Wherever you find people coming and bringing life, and life more abundantly, the life of Christ that's been given to them, that is where the kingdom of God is. Amen? So there's the king and his kingdom, and in the kingdom of God, Jesus comes to give life and give it abundantly. And I'm going to tell you, when we read that, many times we look at that and we say, Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Well, wait a second, we were already alive. Jesus is not talking about natural life here. That's not what he about biological life here. He's not talking about you being born from your mother. That's not what he came to give. What he came to give is a spiritual life, a supernatural life, a Zoe life, the Zoe life of God that you cannot get from anywhere else. He doesn't come to make bad men good. He comes to make dead men live. That's what Jesus came to do. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not here so that we can take the bad parts of our life and apply the gospel to them until they become good. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes into our life, and what does Jesus command us to do if we're going to follow him? He says, number one, you've got to die to yourself. You've got to take up your cross, and you've got to follow me. In other words, it's going to take obedience to the kingdom of God. It's going to take obedience to the word of God, and you've got to turn your back on your old life. You can't have two lives. Many people want to live in two different kingdoms. We want to live in two different worlds, and we want to separate ourselves, and when we come to church, we want to act and talk one way, and then when we go outside, we want to have the freedom to act and walk another. And Jesus does not give that to any of us in the Word of God. Either you're alive in Christ or you're not. Either you obey Jesus or you don't. Either you're a child of the king or you're in the kingdom of the enemy. And there's no two ways about it. There's division between Satan and his kingdom and the kingdom of God. And we're seeing that all over. And let me just say this. We expect that from the world. The world is going to be crazy. People in the world are going because they're under the sway of the evil one, the Bible says. We understand that. I don't expect the world to act right. I really don't. And if you're a Christian and you expect the world to act like you, you're going to be disappointed for the rest of your life. Let me just go ahead and help you get over that. The world is not going to think like you. The world, politicians are not going to think like you. People that are in other organizations are not going to think like you because they're just not going to do that. They're not sold out to Jesus Christ. They're sold out to something else. The only people that are going to think like Jesus are people that have died to their way of life and their opinion and their way of living and their way of doing and their way of acting. And they say, now I'm coming up under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and whatever he says is what my reply is. I don't care about my feelings. I don't care about my opinions. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to follow the word of God. There are many ways that human beings today are trying to divide people. Let me just tell you, we divide each other by our nationality. Let me tell you how I know that. I have been a foreigner living in a foreign country. In America, the way we do that is we say, okay, we're Americans and you're foreigners, right? Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, I'm telling the truth here. That's what we do. And that's natural. That's normal. That's what people do. We're a little bit harsher than that. Can I say that? You're called extracomunitari. You know what that means? Outside of the community. That's what we were called. And I talked to people and they would say, oh, you're an extracomunitari. Yeah, I'm outside of the community. I know what it feels like to be outside of the community, to be divided like that. But let me tell you something. When we pastored our church, and when why? Because we're one blood. We're from one Father. We're the same in Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So then the world will try to divide you. That's a good place to clap if you want to. Let me just say this. The world wants to divide us by race. Wants to divide us by race. Science says that we're five distinct races. Does anybody know when that came about? You won't find that in the Bible. You won't find five races in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're one race. We're all one race. But what happens? Science comes along in this room right now. It's based off of our melanin, right? Did you know that every single one of us in this room right now and every one of us in the world right now are the same color? We're just different shades of the same color. They don't teach that in school. They teach that we're separate, distinct races, and we have this and we have that, and that's all science construct. It's a social construct. It's not found in the Word of God. And listen to me. I understand that with the world, but where I don't understand that is when we come into the house of God and we still want to do that. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. It says that we're all one race. How many of us understand that Adam and Eve is every one of our father and mother? It doesn't matter the level of melanin in your skin right now. What matters is that Adam and Eve, we all came from their, we're all their descendants, right? But the world wants to divide us in that way. The world wants to divide us by gender. There are male chauvinists that will attack females and just tell you, you know, man, women shouldn't have this and women shouldn't have that. And you've heard them. And then there are feminists that will just attack males and they're the worst thing and I ain't listening to no man. And you know, you've heard all these things. And the world divides us by these things. We get divided by political party. We're Democrat or we're Republican. If you go to other countries, there's 60 different political parties in Italy. It blew my mind when I went there. I was like, my gosh, we only have two. Well, you got libertarians, but I don't think there's many libertarians in the U.S. There are a few. I've met some. But we divide ourselves by those things, and think how crazy that is. The world's going to do that. We understand that. But that can't happen in the church. The devil wants to divide us. He wants us to look just like the world. And I'm going to show you in just a minute how Jesus divides people, because Jesus also brings division. A lot of people don't think about that, but he says it himself. Then we divide ourselves by our geography, right? I'm from the South, praise God. Born Southern by the grace of God. You know, you'll hear people say that. Or I'm from the North. Or then you have, I'm an East Coast gangster. I'm a West Coast gangster. You got all the geography. Now, we just going to hate somebody because they grew up in a different part of the country than we are. It's all division. You understand how that happens? And we laugh about it because we know it's true and we know the world is that way. But let me tell you something, friend. When you get saved, when Jesus Christ, when his blood gets applied to your life, you got to leave that old way of thinking behind and you've got to come up under the new king where everybody is the same in Jesus' name. There's only one way that Jesus divides us, and we're getting ready to get to that in just a minute. Then I want to just do one more. There's another way we divide ourselves, by economic status, right? You're either rich or you're poor. Maybe you're middle class. But we got here, don't get this, right? And we're going to say, okay, well, these people, okay, they get this. And these people over here don't get this. If you're in the military, you got officers, you got enlisted, no fraternization. We understand the military is a different animal. I understand that. But what I'm saying is we got all these things that want to bring division, want to divide us, want to create a us versus them. And that's the point I want to make today. The moment you choose one of those sides and you say, I am this, if you're a Christian today, let me encourage you this. Let the only adjective that describes you be Christian. I know I'm not going to get very many amens on that. And I know that may not be a popular thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Let the only thing, that the only adjective that describe you be Christian. Why is that? Because what that adjective does is it describes your highest allegiance. And I don't know about you, but Jesus Christ is my King. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And if there's going to be an adjective that describes me, it's going to be Christian. It's going to be, I'm a child of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And what the church needs to hear is we need to stop allowing the world to come into the house of God and try to divide us. And we need to rise up under the cross of Jesus Christ, because when Jesus shed his blood, he shed his blood for everybody. He shed his blood for every sin. He shed his blood for every person and every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And when we preach that and we believe that and we live that, the church is going to be the example for the world of what a person is supposed to look like in Jesus' name. You see, this is how the world sees things, but in the church of God, there's no room for that. The devil's trying to bring division in the church any way he can, but like I said before, once you repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, once you've been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not, what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Anybody know that? Somebody shout that verse out to me. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? When I come into Christ, I'm not the same as I was before I came into Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm completely different. I look different. I talk different. I act different. I live different because I'm in Christ now. I want you to go with me really quickly to Colossians 3:10-11. I'm not going to get through all this today. Maybe we'll do a two-part on this. Colossians 3:10-11. I'm going to read this in the New King James Version of the Bible. This is so beautiful to me. It says, and have put on the new man. Everybody say new man. And it put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Say that last sentence with me one time. But Christ is all and in all. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Colossae here. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. He's talking to people who have put on the new man and have been renewed in their knowledge according to the one that created them. So in other words, when you come into that new man, you get renewed not only in your spirit, but your mind gets renewed and you begin to understand things in a different way than what the world does. And I want you to look at verse 11. And let me ask you this. Have you put on the new man today? Are you still living in the old way? Are you still living like the world? Are you still living in your trespasses and sins? Or have you repented of your sins and been drawn near to God by the blood of his precious son, Jesus Christ? Because if you have, you put on the new man. In other words, you let go of those old things. You let go of those old way of thinking. You let go of that worldly way of thinking. And you said, listen, I'm not going to be informed by my news source. I'm not going to be informed by social media. I'm not going to be informed by talking bobbleheads. I'm going to be informed by what the Word of God says. And that's where I'm going to get my news. That's where I'm going to get my marching orders. That's where I'm going to get the direction from my life. That's how I'm going to live my life based off what the Word of God says, because I'm a new man. I've been renewed. I've been made new by the blood of Jesus Christ. And verse 11 says, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's no division in the body of Christ. That's what he's saying. Because people wanted to say, some of the Jews wanted to say, well, you got to keep the Old Testament law and then you can be a Christian. And he's saying, no, listen, there's neither Greek nor Jew. It's Christ. Whatever you were before you became a Christian is no longer valid. You're no longer Greek or Jew. You're Christ. You're no longer circumcised or not. You know what that was talking about? You kept the law or you didn't keep the law. He's saying it's not about the law anymore. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your life. You're not circumcised or uncircumcised anymore. You belong to Christ. You're not. Basically, when you look up barbarian and Scythian, the barbarians didn't have laws. They were uneducated. And the Scythians were very educated and very, very smart. And so what you find is, what he's saying is it's not about education. It's not whether you're educated or you're not educated. It's you're in Christ now. You're not a slave or free anymore. You belong to Christ now. Christ is all and Christ is in all. And obedience to Christ is what your life is all about now. Can I say that again? Obedience to Christ is what your life is all about now. If you're in Christ, then obedience to his commands. What it says right there, intentional obedience. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It's right there. John 14:21. If you're in Christ, you obey Christ. It's very simple to see who's in Christ and who's not in Christ. People that are in Christ don't follow the world. People that are in Christ don't get caught up in saying and doing things that don't honor Jesus Christ. They don't get pressured into doing things that just because the world says to do this or because the world wants you to act like this. No, they follow Jesus. They love Jesus. They love their neighbor. They love everyone, and they demonstrate that love everywhere they go, not just at a protest or a march or something like that, but they declare the love of God every day. They live differently. You understand what I'm saying? That's how we live our lives. Obedience to Christ is what your life and my life is all about now. Now I want you to look with me at verses 12 through 17. And he talks about the character of this new man. This new person that's in Christ. They're different than the world. I want you to see how different. We're going to read these characteristics. And then I want to talk about a few of them. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which also you were called in one body. Everybody say one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Where is that admonition and all that supposed to come from? The word of God that dwells in you richly. The believer literally had the word of God dwelling in them richly. And then every time we hear another Christian say something crazy, say something that somebody in the world would say, if we just in love say, listen, brother, that's not right according to the word of God. What does the Bible say? Now, we expect pastors to do that. Pastors got to do that. But you could help me out. You could make my job a whole lot easier if you would just do the same thing. If you would just, when you hear somebody talking crazy, when you hear another believer just talking crazy, they've been listening to the TV too long. They've been listening to, and listen, I get it. I go through that. I just had a situation this last week where I called another pastor friend of mine, and I didn't even realize I had all this stuff pent up in me, and I'm going off and sharing stuff with him and just telling him all the stuff, all the pressure and all the stuff's going on, and he just said, listen, you got to do the right thing. You got to say the right thing. You got to do what God's calling you to do. And I was like, wow, yeah, I know that. What am I doing? I said, sometimes, you know, I just need somebody to talk to and I need somebody to vent to. But let me explain to you. I know what that feels like. But what I'm saying is, what if we, as the church of God, what if we dwelled in the Bible? What if the word of God was in us? What if we really read the Bible and we loved it and we meditated on it like we're supposed to? And we sat with it and we let it wash over us. And we didn't just read it real quick to get a check in our YouVersion box for the day so that everybody that's watching our feed knows we read our Bible for the day. Okay, Pastor. But what if we really sat with it and just said, God, let your word cover my mind. Let your word cover my heart. And then that word gets on the inside of me. And when I hear people talking crazy and that peace is on the inside of me, I can just walk up and say, listen, I know you're going through a hard time and I know that this stuff's going crazy. Let me share with you what the word of God says. Let me just speak peace over your life right now. We had the opportunity to do that several times yesterday as we were giving that food away and praying for people. And I'm going to tell you what a blessing that is to see God's peace just come on people's lives and to see people begin to weep and to see the grace of God. But we've got to be people that are in the Word, and we've got to let the Word of God get in us like it says here. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So I want to look through some of these things. He says, put on tender mercies. You ever had somebody be tender with you and just be merciful to you? Or you've done something mean, or you've done something that's real dumb, and that person is just tender and they're merciful and they just treat you so merciful. That is such an amazing thing, and it's a Holy Spirit thing. Christians can do that even if they didn't get that growing up, even if they don't get that from their spouse, even if they don't get that from their kids, even if you don't get that from your boss at wife. You can actually, if you sit with the Word of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life, you can actually be a person that is tender and merciful to others. Man, it's such a beautiful thing when I see it. I love to see it and I love to experience. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness. How amazing would it be right now for the world to see some kindness? Just to see some kindness. Just opening the door for people, smiling at people, asking people how they're doing and just really wanting to know and not just saying that in conversation and then running off. I'm amazed. Yesterday I was in Walmart and I spoke to a guy in line and just started sharing with him and just, you know, being kind to him. And he just followed me around and just kept talking to him. And he goes, man, I really enjoyed talking with you. We walked outside and we walked all the way through the parking lot together. And it was just an amazing thing because he could feel the kindness of God. It's not me. I'm saying what we want to have is we want to develop that in our lives and allow the kindness of God to flow out of you. You can do that everywhere that you are if Christ dwells in you richly. Humility. It says, put on humility. Man, couldn't the world use a little dose of humility right now through the church? What if we were the church of God and we acted like Jesus during the time that's going on right now and we just showed humility to other people? We didn't try to act like we knew everything. We didn't try to stubbornly hold to our opinion and choose our side and cause division between other people, but we just had a little bit of humility and talked to somebody just to say, hey, tell me from your point of view. Let me hear what's going on from your point of view. Let me show a little bit of humility and let me hear. I don't have to agree with you, but I can listen and I can be humble. What would the world think if they saw us doing that as the body of Christ? It'd be an amazing thing, wouldn't it? Meekness. It says, put on meekness. I love meekness, and it's probably one of my favorite characteristics of Jesus, and people have such a misunderstanding of what meekness is. Most people, when they say meekness, they think weakness. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, right? And he was weak. He let people do this and he let people do that. Meekness, let me give you an example of what meekness is. Meekness is restrained power. You have to have power to be meek. You have to have the ability to smash somebody, to crush somebody if you're going to be meek. Let me share with you the greatest dying for the sins of the men that are down there mocking him. And they look at him and they say, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself, Son of God? Why don't you come down off the cross and save yourself like you saved all these other people? Meekness is what kept Jesus on the cross. He restrained the power that he had, and he said, you know what? I could crush you right now. I could come down, really done that, and then floated right back up there and got on the cross and died for our sins. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. You have to have power in order to be meek. You have to have power to be meek. Every single one of us in this room have power if you have the love of God in your heart. You have the ability to do all kinds of things, but you can be meek. You can be meek with your husband. You can be meek with your wife. You can be meek with your children. You can be meek with your boss. You can be meek with people in traffic. You can be meek with people that treat you wrong and in a bad way. You can show the meekness of God if that dwells on the inside of you. This next one he says to put on is long-suffering. Long-suffering. You know what that word long-suffering is? It's the God-given ability to bear with a difficult person until they learn. long-suffering. If you got kids today, I pray for long-suffering in your life. If you've got a husband today, I pray for long-suffering in your life. If you've got a wife today, I pray for long-suffering in your life. I pray that you would have long-suffering in all your relationships, because how many of you know we want others to be long-suffering with us, but when it's time to turn that around, it looks different, doesn't it? Well, baby, I was going to do that. You know, I was going to get to that. Right? I want you to be long-suffering with me. But then when you didn't do something I wanted you to do, hey, what is this? Well, what about that long-suffering? What about that same long-suffering that you wanted to give? You understand what I'm saying? We can do that through the power of God. Long-suffering. That next one is put on bearing with one another. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful today for people that have bared with me. Man, I would not be here today if it wasn't for a bunch of people that just kept loving me when I was unlovable. Starting with my dad and mom. You know, the older I get, the more thankful I am for them. They were not perfect by any means, but I'm telling you right now, I surely wasn't perfect. And I needed somebody that was able to bear with me, to stay with me and to believe in me and to pray for me and to just keep thinking, man, things have got to get better. You know, it can't get any worse. We need to have that capability in our lives to be long-suffering with other people. And a child of God does that. If you have a complaint against anyone, I want you to see this. Have a complaint. Beautiful to me. So, he says, if you have a complaint against anyone, go to the nearest adult and tell on them. Right? Isn't that what we do as kids? And that's what we tell our kids to do. Listen, if you got in a complaint, then you go to the nearest adult and you tell on them. And I understand, keep that same, that's right when you're children. But as you get older, we want to keep that same thing in our minds. We want to keep that same thing going. What does he say? He said, if you have a complaint with somebody, what do you do? Forgive them. That is radical. That don't even make sense to the natural mind. I've got the complaint. This person has done me wrong, and now I'm going to just forgive them? If you want to live a life following Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you do. And you cannot do that on your own. You cannot do that in your own strength. You must have the strength and the power that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ flowing through you in order to be able to forgive people that have done you wrong. Forgive just like Christ forgave you, you must do. Let me say this about forgiveness today, because I really feel like, and I'm probably going to end with this. I want to say this about forgiveness today because I think many of us, we struggle with this. And I want to tell you, all of us have learned how to hold unforgiveness. Every single one of us. We've learned how to do that over time. We've learned that when we get hurt, instead of doing what the Word of God tells us, we learn that from a young age. I can remember times when I was young and I was little, and I'm telling you, I had a terrible time holding grudges. I didn't forget stuff. I'm telling you, if you did me wrong, I would remember it and I would wait and I would plot on you. And I really would. I'd be like, I'm going to get you. And I would be working and scheming. Like, how am I going to get this person? They did this to me. And I'm going to catch you over here when nobody's looking. And I'm going to get you right here. And I would figure it out. And I would work on that. And I learned how to hold unforgiveness. I literally learned how to do it. I learned from watching other people. As a kid, I learned and I heard conversations that people had. They did me wrong, and they're never going to get away with that. I'm going to hold them accountable for that. And I listened and I learned those things. And let me tell you something. If you can learn unforgiveness, you can learn forgiveness. You can learn how to forgive people. And that's what we don't teach people. We just say, forgive, forgive. And people say, I can't forgive. You absolutely can learn to forgive. Let me tell you something. Every one of us today has been hurt by somebody. Every one of us today has had somebody we respected, somebody we loved, somebody we trusted that have hurt us and done us wrong. There's not a person in here. And many of us have learned how to hold that inside by watching other people. And we've learned how to keep that in ourselves and keep that in our hearts. And what the Bible tells us to do seems impossible to do that at times. And it is impossible without the love of God and without us learning how to do that. And I'm going to tell you, let me just encourage you today. You may say, Pastor, I've tried to forgive that and I just can't do it. Let me commend you for trying. And I'm being honest with you. Let me commend you for trying to do that. Let me just tell you what an awesome step that is back, and it may just to have that desire to forgive that person. And it may come back, and it may come back, and it may come back. And I want to tell you, this is how your heart and mind get renewed. This is how you do it. Let me encourage you. You don't do it by direct effort. You do it by indirect effort. What do I mean by that? Direct effort is saying, this person did me wrong, and I will forgive them. They did this, but I'm going to forgive it. They did this, but I'm going to forgive it. What are you going to do if you keep saying that? All you're doing is focusing on what they did still. You're trying to get rid of it by direct effort. But indirect effort, what is that? There are spiritual disciplines that God has given us, like prayer, meditating on the Word of God, sitting with the Lord in silence and listening to His voice. And if you're a person, me in my life, with forgiveness, let me encourage you something that will help you, and it's helped me in my life. What you can start doing is go to the Word of God. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks often about forgiveness and unforgiveness. And I challenge you today, go to the Word of God where it talks about forgiveness and unforgiveness and read those scriptures. Get alone by yourself and just read that and tell God, Lord, I want to forgive, but I need your help and I need your grace. And I encourage you, memorize some of those verses. Let them begin to get in your mind and let them begin to get in your heart. Meditate on them. Think about them. Pray over them. And what you're going to find out is that as you do that, what's going to begin to happen is your way of thinking is going to be replaced by His way of thinking. Isaiah 55 tells us that the problem that we have is our thoughts are not as high as His thoughts, and our ways are not as high as His ways. And if you want to get His thoughts into your mind and His ways into your life, you have to go to the Word of God, and you have to allow it to change your thinking. You are in Christ now, and you are not of the world any longer, so you can't operate the way the world does. You can't act the way the world does any longer. Now you have to learn to act in a Christ-like manner according to the Word of God. And I want to encourage every one of us today. It is possible for every one of you, every one of you in this room, every one of you that's watching me right now, it is possible to live a life of forgiveness through the power of the blood of Jesus' name. That's a good place to say amen, Pastor. It's a good place to say amen. Now I want to share these verses, and then I'm going to end with this. We talked about what the devil wants to do to bring division. We talked about how the enemy wants to bring division. We've talked about that character that tells us that Jesus brings division in Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 53. These are going to be the last verses I read today, I promise. Luke 12, 49 through 53. Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized. Peace on earth, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. I want you to look at that verse again. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. What is Jesus talking about right here? He's saying, listen, I didn't come to bring peace. I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Absolutely is the Prince of Peace in the kingdom of God. Now I want you to understand what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring division. What is the division he's talking about? When Jesus Christ came onto the scene of the world and he declared, I am God, I am He, I am the Son of God, I'm the bread of life. When he began to make those statements, what happens is every person now has to decide either Jesus is who he says he is and I'm going to obey him, or I think he's a lunatic and I'm going to go this way. That's the division that Jesus brings into the world. Now, I want to tell you today, he's still bringing that division into the world today. Every one of us, the way Jesus divides us today is either you believe in him and you obey him, or you don't believe in him and you disobey him. Anything that is not according to the Word of God, any lifestyle, any particular thing that I want to do and you want to do that is not in line with what the Word of God says and the Word of God teaches is disobedience to Jesus Christ, and that's where the dividing line stands. That's the only place that we're supposed to be divided. That's the only place. Either you obey Christ or you disobey Christ. Either you live a life that you die to yourself, you take up your cross and you follow him, and every area of your life where you come to and you see, man, this is not in line with the scripture, you got to make a decision right then. Either I die to this and I follow Christ, or I turn my back on Christ and I walk my own way. If I want to hold on to unforgiveness, I can't follow Jesus. If I want to hold on to hate and I want to have this stuff in my heart, then I can't follow Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to divide you by who obeys and who disobeys. Now, I want to give you an encouraging word today. Every single person in this room and every person that's watching me today, live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, and you're going to follow him with your whole heart, or you're going to follow something else. You're going to follow your own way. You're going to follow your own ideology. You're going to let somebody else or somebody, another organization, tell you how to live and tell you how to act. But I'm going to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the only person that deserves everything that you can give him today, because he's the only one that died for your sins and rose again. Now, I want to encourage you today, friends, don't allow the world to come into your mind. Don't allow the world to come into your heart and divide you away from Jesus Christ, because that's what the devil wants to do. With everything that's in him, he wants to come in and he wants to get you to take one little pet thing and get divided away from the Word of God. He wants to just squeeze something in there. Jesus, I know, but just I can't go with him. That's too harsh. That's too much. That's just, I don't know. No, we have to go with him. We have to follow him. We have to do what he says. And I just want to encourage you today, what we're going to do here at River of Life Church is we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to obey Jesus Christ. We're going to live our lives for him. And we're going to make a bold declaration every time we come together that there is forgiveness, there's healing, there's freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what I want to do right now is I just want to pray for you today. And you may be struggling with some things. You may be dealing with some things. I want to pray for you today. And I want to ask God that he would make those things clear to you. Maybe today you're struggling with unforgiveness, or maybe it's something else and you've learned how to hold on to that. And you're saying, God, I don't want to do that. I want to forgive. Jesus, I want to follow you. Let me just encourage you with that today. If you have a desire to obey God, that lets you know God is at work on the inside of you. Many times I counsel people and I talk with people and they say, Pastor, you know, why am I still having a desire to do this? I love God and I want to follow God, but man, I have a desire to do this thing over here and I fall into this. And you know what I love to encourage people with? Listen, the very fact that you have a desire to follow God lets you know God is working in your life. Because before he was working in your life, you could sin and do every bad thing you wanted to and you didn't feel bad at all about it. I remember those days. But God is working in you. And I just want to pray with you right now and ask God that he's going to show you. And if you're struggling with a particular thing, you say, Pastor, I don't know what the Bible says about that. Could you share something with me? When the service is over, come up and talk to me. I'd love to even be able to pray with you personally. And I'd love to be able to share some things with you on that. And I'm just believing today, this is going to be a day for a turnaround in your life. This is a day that God wants to do some amazing things in you and through you so that we can be the church and something different about your life. People are going to look at you and are going to say, man, you're not like all these other people. There's peace in you. There's hope in you. There's joy in you. Where does that come from? And then you can begin to testify of the goodness of your God. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. So, Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the church. I thank you for the people of God today. I thank you for each and every one of us. And, Father, lives is not according to your word. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to come right now and put your finger on it. Come and move in our hearts. Come and move in our minds. Anything that needs to change, God, help us. We desire to follow you. Sometimes we lack the strength and we lack the understanding, but God, we have the desire to follow you. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you today that you would help people to release their faith to forgive. You would help people to release their faith to love with others. Help people to release their faith to share your love with others, Father. Lord, I just thank you for each and every family, each and every person that's here today. God, we ask that your grace and your mercy would be upon us. We ask, Father, that you would use us in this time. Lord, that you would make us bright and shining lights and examples of what it means to be a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ, the Most High God. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Guys, everybody do this real quick. Do this right here real quick. That's a hug from Pastor James right there. I love you guys.